So the Rambam says in Hilchot Yesudei HaTorah, we're holding part three to, we're doing part three, Parsha Samri, Parsha Re'eh. So the Rambam says in Hilchot Yesudei HaTorah, Perek Chet, the eighth chapter, that the Jews did not believe Moshe because of the signs that he did. Our belief in Moshe did not stem from the fact that he brought 10 plagues on the Egyptians, that he split the sea. Because when you believe someone because of a sign that he did, because of a miracle that he did, then the natural tendency is that you'll always doubt. Maybe he tricked me. I told you guys, when I was younger, I was a magician. So I could do a lot of things that you guys would swear that they're miracles. All kinds of things. I could make myself float in the air. Sure. I could make... What?
Like David Blaine stuff.
Yeah. I could make handkerchiefs appear out of nowhere. There are a lot of stuff you could do.
What's his name?
David Blaine.
At any rate, when you believe someone because of a sign that he did, so you always have to doubt. Was it real? Was it the way I thought it was? Moshe Rabbeinu did all these wonderful things because they were necessary. When we needed to get rid of the Egyptians, he split the sea. When we needed food, he brought down the man. So he had a miracle for 40 years. Bread is falling from heaven wherever we go. So Hashem does every miracle. But Moshe Rabbeinu is the one that told us it would happen. So that's like a miracle that a Navi does. And they were necessary. We were thirsty, so he made one rock give us a ton of water. The Korach and his men rebelled, so he had the ground split under them and they were destroyed. But our belief in Moshe stems from something we saw, not something that someone else saw. Something we heard, not something someone else is telling us. The fact that all of the Jewish people stood there at Sinai and they saw the Torah given. The Rambam has a beautiful pshat. Moshe Rabbeinu walks out to the desert. He gets the first vision of Hashem. Hashem appears to him by the snake. He sees a vision of a bush that's burning. And Hashem tells him, go to the Jewish people and give them the following signs. And Moshe says, I don't want to go. They won't believe me. Says the Rambam, what does it mean that Moshe said they won't believe me? Moshe said, if all you're giving me are signs, so come on. Everyone could give a sign. That's why they should believe me? I can't lead the Jewish people, take them out of Egypt, based upon a sign. This is all the Rambam's pshat. Says the Rambam, so that's why Hashem told Moshe, there's an interesting pasuk there. Hashem tells him, when you leave Mitzrayim, you'll serve Hashem on this mountain. The Jewish people will serve Hashem on this mountain. And you always have to ask yourself, why does that matter? So the Rambam says, what Hashem was telling him is that they won't believe you because of a sign. They're going to believe you because they themselves are going to come with you back to this mountain. And on this mountain I will appear to the whole Jewish people and they will hear directly how I converse with you, how I converse with them. Did you ever ask yourself, what's the importance of the Ten Commandments? Halachically we say there are 10 mitzvahs, right? 10 commandments, they're part of the Torah. So the importance is that those 10 mitzvahs were given to us by Hashem directly. Hashem spoke to us. And at that moment, when Hashem revealed himself to the Jewish people and you had over 1 million people standing at Sinai and witnessing prophecy, witnessing that God is talking to them, it's no longer a situation where you believe Moshe, because Moshe is saying, I'll give you a sign. God told me something. No. The Jewish people heard how God spoke to them. The Jewish people heard how God called Moshe. And Hashem even tells Moshe that. He tells him, Hinei anochi ba'i lecha ba'avanan. Behold, I'm going to come to you with a cloud, so that the nation will hear when I speak to you, and they will believe what you say forever. What's Hashem telling Moshe? If the Jewish people themselves hear this prophecy, they hear how I call you and tell you, come, I want to give you the Torah. Then, when you walk back to the Jewish people, it's not a situation like every other prophet in every other religion, or every other false prophet in every other religion, says, God spoke to me, believe me, I'll give you a sign, I'll heal the sick, I'll walk on water, I'll do whatever you want. God spoke to me. That's not what happened with Moshe. Moshe came and said, listen, Jews, you listen. You'll all hear together with me. And we all stood there and we all heard the prophecy. So now it's not a situation that Moshe is coming because of a sign, because he did miracles. But rather, we all witnessed the prophecy together with Moshe. And therefore, if another prophet comes, what's the power that another prophet has? No other prophet can say, God's talking to all of you, right? No, God's not talking to me. What's the best a prophet could say? A prophet could say, God told me and believe me because of a sign I'm doing. We'll tell the other prophets, sorry, Moshe Rabbeinu is the equivalent that I saw it. If I saw something with my own two eyes, you can't convince me it's false. You could tell me that this doesn't exist, this isn't here, but I see it. So I'm not going to believe you. So when a prophet walks in and gives us a sign, and then he says, because my son believed me, I'm going to tell you something. We're going to tell him, if it's against the Torah, well, the Torah we saw with our own two eyes is true. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy is stronger. That's why Moshe could say, if any other prophet walks in and says, different than the Torah, kill that other prophet. So the other prophet will say, what do you mean? I'm telling you a new Torah. Listen to me. Why is Moshe better? And says the Rambam, Moshe is better because we didn't believe Moshe because of a sign. We saw it with our own two eyes. So you, why do we believe you? Because of a sign. So, sorry. Moshe wins. Is that clear? This is one of the basics of Jewish faith. And when we did it in the past, we didn't do it clearly. I felt bad.
The Kuzari brings it
too. Kuzari goes a slightly different route. But,
you said something about Pesach. That's why.
Is that why we're stiff-necked people? Is because Hashem spoke and everybody's like, oh, look. And then...
Good try.
The Torah says don't be scared. Ordinarily people are scared. A person is a miracle worker, people are scared. And here there's beautiful Dvar Torah, which I don't want to say in my own name. I don't even want to quote it without quoting it inside, because I'm scared people will be very upset at me. So I'm going to quote it to you from inside, and I'll translate it. This is a sefer called Zos HaTorah, which was written by the chief rabbi of the city of Gilo, Rav Eliyahu Schlesinger, and he quotes a sefer on this week's parasha, on the concept of a false prophet and signs. And I think it's very relevant today, because today you hear people talking all the time about this miracle worker or that miracle worker. So, he asks the following question. He says, what's going on here? If it's a person that's trying to get everyone to serve idols, so then obviously we're not going to listen to him. So who is this prophet that's coming and telling us to do something against the Torah? So he quotes from the Sefer Ma'ov Vashemesh that says the following, that this pasuk is speaking, is coming to teach us something else. Until now we've been discussing Pshat. We learned the halachic implications, we learned the Rambam. Now this is a little bit of drush, but the message I think is very important. The Ma'or Vashemesh says that the Pasuk is forewarning us of people who have a tendency to go and find miracle workers. People who could give you schoolers. It seems like these people are keeping the faith. But if one makes himself subservient to these people and he emulates these people blindly, then ultimately that will cause him to go in the ways of Avodah Zarah. Very powerful words. And this is what he writes. He says, the Pasuk is coming to warn us, to hint to us, the way that the masses go when they hear that there's a person who does miracles. Today you hear about a lot of people doing miracles. You don't hear? I can tell you tons of stories about tons of people. Now I'm talking about Jewish people. People that wear turbans, people that are called Rabbi X and Rabbi Y. And people go to them because they hear that these people, they could heal the sick.
True.
They could give you... So people rush over to someone and they believe in anything they'll tell them because they hear that he could do miracles, even though they never heard of him. They never checked out what his history is. They never checked out how this person behaves, how he keeps the Torah. Why do they run to him? Because they hear that this person does miracles. But the truth is that miracles is worthless. The idea of traveling to a tzaddik, says the Ma'ov HaShemesh, is that we ourselves should see the tzaddik and learn from the way the tzaddik behaves. After many years that a person has been behaving as a tzaddik and a chassid, and he's famous for the fact that he's a righteous person, then we are supposed to travel to him to learn from him how to be a righteous person. That's the idea. We're supposed to be adjacent, try to connect ourselves to Talmidei Chachamim and to tzaddikim so that we could learn from them. But not to go to them so that they'll perform miracles for us. That's not the idea. And certainly, we cannot go to someone and say, let's go to him because he performs miracles, when we don't know if this is a tzaddik. We don't know how this person behaves, other than the fact that people say that he does miracles, and, says the Ma'ov HaShemesh, it is forbidden to travel to a person just because you heard he does a miracle. If you haven't heard that this person is really a tzaddik, he says it's forbidden to go to him. That's what the Pasuk is alluding to. And if you'll say, what's wrong if I go? He's a good Jew, right? I don't know much about him, but I've heard he does miracles. What's wrong if I go to him? So he says, no. That's forbidden. It's the exact opposite. When the truth is, he says, that when a person attaches himself to someone just because of miracles, and we don't know if he does mitzvos, we're attaching ourselves to sheker. Because truth is that you're supposed to attach yourself to people who have good traits and who perform mitzvos well. And if you're connecting because of miracles, you're really connecting to sheker. And ultimately that will cause a person to sin, and ultimately it brings a person to avodah zarah. So how do you save yourself from this situation, especially today? You hear everyone talks about miracle workers.
I don't hear
you. You don't hear. Okay. You haven't been around the machon enough. Listen up. Oh, so going for a blessing, that's halach and shulchan aruch, that if a person has a sick person in his home, he should go to the rabbi of the city and ask him to pray for him. Doesn't have to be someone who you've heard that when he gives a blessing, everyone gets cured. There are a lot of sick people in the hospitals. If there's really someone out there that when he gives a blessing, everyone gets cured, how come there are still sick people? You got to ask yourself that. Sorry for being so skeptical. So you could say no one's discovered it but you. But you have to remember that it is halacha, you're supposed to go to your rabbi, you're supposed to go to the rabbi of the city, ask him to pray for him. You should do that. That's halacha. But the idea is that you're supposed to do something by going to the rabbi. You're supposed to connect with the rabbi. You're supposed to learn from the rabbi. Doesn't mean that you go to him and say, oh, I did my part. He's praying. End of story. It's not the way it works. It's true. You should ask him to pray. But the idea is to reconnect with the rabbi. To what with?
To bath.
I don't know about special waters. I don't know. I don't know. I could tell you that when we needed, when there were medical issues, we went to Rav Halberstam Zatzal. And he sometimes gave us advice, medical advice. And sometimes he'd tell us which chapters in Tehillim it's worth saying. He'd ask him which chapters are best for this situation. And I don't remember his ever giving us any EGBGs. He gives many other things, not that. And the same thing for Rabbi Feinstein. Rabbi Feinstein once commented to me. He said, it's funny, people are telling stories. And he started telling the stories people were telling about him. And he was laughing. Don't believe every story you hear.
Is there, I have a quick question. Is there a book, is there a source where we can go to find out which tehillim are good for what?
Many tehillim are printed with that. And basically, the Chida, I think, wrote, and also from the psukim themselves, you see, once you learn the psukim, what they're referring to. But many tehillim are printed with two or three words, and they say what this chapter speaks about, and therefore what it's good for.
Okay, yeah.
Which situation?
The preamble of the tehillim, but it'd be nice to have a source to say this is this and this and this.
So they have that. There are tehillim that say that they have, like in the beginning, the first page says, for this situation, say these chapters, this situation, say those chapters.
Yeah. What about someone, I'm asking someone if that he has a special relationship with God and has
if you,
inspiration?
All he's saying is that you could go for someone to someone for a bracha. It's a good thing to go for a bracha. Bracha is a very important thing. You could go to someone for advice. You could go to someone for halacha. But before you go to someone, check out who this person is. Check out that he's a righteous person, that he's a tzaddik, that he's a Talmud Chacham. Don't go to him because you've heard that this guy performs miracles. That's not the reason to go to him. If you've checked out that this person is a tzaddik and a Talmud Chacham, so then go to him. He's not saying not to go. He's saying, but don't make the main point the miracles that you've heard this person does.
Isn't there kind of like a pedagogy of Navi too? Once upon a time, they went to Navi school. And they usually apprenticed under a Navi Gadol. And he was like junior Navi, right?
There was such a thing, yes.
I mean, that was the way we check out the Navi's then. But I mean, so now we just need to get the school going.
Okay.
We gotta have a teacher first.
trying to put the cart horse before the cart before the.
The parasha continues with what happens if someone comes to you, a brother, a son, a daughter, a wife, a close friend, a parent, and they say, psst, let's go serve this other god. Maybe it's a god that's close, maybe it's an idol that was worshipped here in Israel, maybe it's a god that's distant. So the Torah says, give him over to the authorities, he has to be killed. And this is a question that people very often ask. Who should one have first allegiance to? We know a person is supposed to have allegiance to family, and the Torah says you have to have allegiance to family. But above all, this above all, says the Torah, to the Torah be true. That the first allegiance is to Hashem. We know we're obligated to honor our parents, but only if they don't contradict the Torah. If they tell us to transgress, we're not supposed to listen to them. And the same thing is true in this instance. Even if it's the closest relative or the closest friend, says the Torah, you're not supposed to be compassionate. It says you're supposed to judge a person favorably, not this person. It says when you're judging a person, if you have room to find a positive claim for the person, you have to bring it up, not this person. The second a person tries to get you off the way to serve idols, then we go all out against them, we have to get rid of him. It is listed.
One sugar?
No thanks. In a minute, no thanks. It's listed. Re'acha asher kenafshecha, your friend that is like your soul. So our sages say, who is that? That's a father. So a father and mother too. Yeah.
This is the one of the few death penalties for which you don't need warning.
I don't know. It seems that way. Yeah.
In the Mishnah brings it that you don't need that.
It makes sense. I didn't notice it. Yeah. There are a few interesting points here. One is, the Torah says, if he's coming to convince you to go after the nations that are close or distant, why does the Pasuk have to point out the gods that are distant? Because we have a tendency to think that if something's exotic, then maybe there's more truth, more power to it. People go to the Himalayas, they go to the Dalai Lama, they think that they'll find wisdom in all kinds of places because they're exotic. The Torah is telling us, look around. What are the idols that people are worshipping around you? You know they're nonsense. Just like what's being worshipped here is nonsense, what's being worshipped there is nonsense. You have nothing to worry about. Our tendency is to think that if something is foreign, then there's more to it. There are a few stories. There's a guy who was studying religion in the United States. And at the end of the class, he admired the professor a lot. He went to the professor and asked him, he said, after all the religions you've studied, so tell me, what religion do you recommend? So the professor said, son, tell me, what religion are you from? So the guy said, my parents were Jewish. So he says, and what do you know about Judaism? So he said, not much. I went to a little bit of Sunday school. I don't know much. So he said, son, do me a favor. Before you explore everything else, go look at what's in your backyard. And I once started compiling a book about a quest for truth. A book for everyone, not just for Jews. On what's the logical way that a person should really seek out the right religion. And I said, and I think it's true, that person should always begin with what he has at hand. First, check out if what you have is true. Don't go looking outside first. If a person is Christian, let him research Christianity. What's false will ultimately prove itself as being false. What's true will ultimately prove itself as being true. A person should first look where he's at. If where he's at is Jewish, let him research Judaism. Afterwards, he comes to the conclusion truth isn't here, then let him seek beyond that. But first, the person should check his backyard. There are stories about people who went up to the Dalai Lama and asked him what he recommends as far as religion. All kinds of Israelis. And he told them, you're Israeli? You're at the source. Every other religion is just a copy. They're trying to get to what's right. That's what they say. I wasn't there. But there are quotes.